Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is Joanna.
Well, how's it going?
It's going good. Everything smoothly.
It's going by quick.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, our next caller up, we're going to go to him down in G-Town. Sharky Marquez. Let's see what's up with him. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How we doing?
Oh, man, just living the dream. What are you up to, buddy?
I'm fixing to hop in the car and start heading down towards the dock.
Yeah, you're going to be living the dream and the nightmare and all of it rolled up in one today.
Boy, you ain't kidding with this wind.
I know. I was thinking about you guys down there this morning when I got up, and it sounded like surf roaring on Trinity Bay when I walked out the door this morning to go to work. I'm going, wow, that wind came up overnight.
Oh, don't tell me that. In fact, Mickey, it might get a little bit windy for 2 seconds. I'm walking out towards my truck right now. So
that's all right.
It gets a little windy. I'm sorry about that. But
hey, it is an outdoor show. We want the outdoor effects.
Oh, well, you're going to have full outdoor effects. Man, oh, man. But, no, oh, my gosh, that wind is howling.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It is howling. Oh, no.
Sounds like a gale channel day to me.
That's right. No, that's absolutely right. We're definitely sounds like I'm going to be throwing on some popping corks and bouncing around the channel today.
Yep.
That wind is absolutely ridiculous. It was supposed to be about 17 at this time, and I can tell you right now it's a lot more than 17.
Yes, it is. 20 to 25.
That's right. That's right. So, but man, the fishing has been absolutely insane for us these past couple of days. You know, I know that Matt, when I went offshore the other day, Matt brought back, I think he had like 40-something trout, and I mean, this guy is just, man, it's just been on fire out there for us.
Yes, it has. Y'all been doing good, and I tell you, y'all had some good kingfish action the other day, too. I saw that on your live feed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've been that. Got another
man.
One.
Those, got another one on. Another
those,
one on.
Diving baits you were using were, those, what were they, Rapalas y'all were using?
They were,
y'all were smoking them on those.
They were, yeah. I was using a Rapala, and the trick was I was using the Magnum is the model, and I was trolling around those rigs for, I don't know, probably about an hour and couldn't get picked up off anything. And then the key was is I had a small diver. And it really didn't matter what color I was throwing as long as it was one of the smaller ones. That was about a 10 to 15 foot versus a 15 to 25.
Yeah, plus you downsized in the size of the bait, too.
Uh-huh. And I'm telling you that we caught the first day I went offshore last week, we caught like 15 kingfish, and 14 of them came off that one old lure I had from last year sitting in my boat. You know, I went out and bought all new, brand new, beautiful shiny divers that are the big ones that, you know, deep divers, and they wouldn't hit it. They wouldn't hit it. And then every single 5 minutes, Tim, we were hooked back up on that little diver, and that's what did the trick. So it's amazing those little changes, you know, can make such a big impact. They're like, man, this is the lucky rod.
Yeah, with that lucky bait on there. That was.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I'm like, man, that's the lucky bait.
Yeah.
I'm driving down the seawall.
Are you on the seawall already? Is it already?
I am.
Is it cranking?
I'm telling you, I'm driving down the seawall, and I could see the lights in front of 91st Street Pier right now, and it looks like there's about 6 footers in front of the pier.
Just that's the offshore forecast today, 6 to 7 footers.
Golly. No, it's cranking. That is unreal how it can go from so flat to just absolutely ridiculous. Man. Mm-mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a close offshore day and a close offshore schedule today, and we are I already called them yesterday and said, "Hey guys, we're gonna have to kick that sucker down to a jetty trip." And I think I'm gonna call them this morning and say, "Hey, we're gonna have to kick that down to a bay trip."
Yeah, you may have to.
Yeah, I don't know if the jetties are gonna be fishable today. But
well,
we're
there's
gonna
a
find
bunch,
out.
There's a bunch of weather all up through from Oklahoma City all through up Oklahoma into Kansas, and that's what's sucking this wind. And plus, there's another little low pressure building up west of us over there, west of Piedras Negras in Mexico, which we all know what that means. That'll probably come down the coast to give us some rain chances later on in the weekend and early in the week. So here we go. You know, that
man,
system, that pattern isn't over yet.
Oof. It's amazing how far those little storm cells can develop and still be pushing, you know,
us, seeing
the effect of it.
It'll,
unreal.
It definitely sucks that Gulf moisture up to it and keeps fueling it. And then we get when we get a low on the backside of the west, it just fuels more moisture along the coast, and then we start getting it. So, welcome to Texas.
That's right. Welcome to Texas.
If you don't like the weather today, just wait till tomorrow. It'll change for you.
That's right. That's right. Or a couple hours for that matter. Oh, goodness. Well, I'm praying for everybody getting out there on the water today. It might be a little choppy for us guys out there, but man, we should be able to find some fish. Just got to find that protected water and pray for the best.
Have y'all caught any unusual fish yet for this time of the year? Something, you know, like?
I'm trying to think. I did catch a grouper not too long ago at the jetties. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I forget the type of grouper it was, but it was kind of unusual to pick them up off the rocks out there. And let's see. No, I can't say that we've caught anything too crazy.
Yeah.
I really want to get into those mangrove snappers. And a lot of people don't know this, but we start tearing up mangrove snappers all in the ship channel and around the jetties, you know.
Sure.
Here in about 2 months, and it's a lot of fun, and they taste really good.
You know, my old buddy Jeffcoat over there in Venice, Louisiana, he said the trout don't eat live croaker very good over there like they do here, but that's what everybody uses for mangrove snapper bait is live croaker over there.
Really?
Yeah, they tear them up on those live croakers, and, I mean, they catch some nice mangrove snapper over there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's insane. No, I would have never guessed that those mangrove snappers would be eating that stuff.
Yeah. That's what he's told me for years. How all the Cajuns over there, they use a live croaker for mangrove and use regular hop-o-matic shrimp for trout. The trout don't like it as well.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Hey, they're like, you want to live in a trout? You know, just throw you a shrimp out there and bam.
Yeah.
There it is. No, that's where my guys are coming from this morning. So I got a little bit to live up to.
I had a call earlier from, he's a grown man now. I've always called him a kid because I've known him since he was a kid. Old Jeremy Bain over there at Bolivar. He's supposed to fish in some tournament out of Galveston Day, and he can't get across a ferry from his house at Bolivar. They had a ferry run aground on a sandbar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're just deterring everybody getting them out of line because they've been waiting in line since 12:30 tonight, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're waiting on a tug or something to come pull the ferry off the sandbar. So traveling either way across the across Bolivar Roads on a ferry this morning is not doable.
Wow.
So I hope your people wow. this morning aren't coming from Bolivar. You may have to run over there to pick them up.
That's gonna be a run to remember.
Yeah.
In this wind, that's gonna be fun.
I remember.
No, I definitely have some. I definitely have a little challenge in front of me today. So.
Y'all will pull it out. You always do.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely catch some fish, man. That's what I was telling these guys yesterday. I was like, we're gonna get out there and make some memories, and you know what? We're gonna do what we can.
How many people do y'all take per boat when y'all do these outcast charter trips?
Yeah, so we could do a maximum of 6 per boat.
6.
Okay. I definitely suggest, you know, 4 to 5 for the most comfortability. Really, yeah. 4 is nice. But you know, you have those big families that all want to be on the same boat.
Right.
We make it happen.
Pack them in, sardine them up, baby.
That's right. Sardine them up. Give them a fish pole. Tell them, hold on.
Hold on. Wait for the nibble.
Hold on.
All right.
Yeah.
I wish you the best out there today. It's a far cry from all week long to now. So,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Breezy conditions.
I will need your good luck and hope. You guys have a wonderful day, and everybody has a great Father's Day coming up.
Yes, sir.
And stay safe out there.
We're going to do it. Hey, man, if somebody wants to get a hold of you at Outcast Charters, what's the best way to book a trip?
Yes, sir. They can give us a call from 8 to 5, 7 days a week at 979-248-1529. They can check out our Facebook, social media, Outcast Charters. That's all spaced out. And they can check out our website for trip options and pricing at outcastfishingcharters.com. And the fishing without the G.
That's it. Fishing. Texas style, not fishing. All right.
There you buddy. Go. Fish. We fishing, baby.
That's right. Texas style. Okay, Michael. Well, hey, you have a good day out there, and good luck to you.
All right, Mickey. Have a good one. It's a monster, baby.
That's it. It's a monster. All right, see you. Or what is it, a doozer? He's got a doozer on.
There you go. That's that for you. It's a doozer.
It's a doozer. All right, Michael. Have a great day, man. Good talking to you.
All
see
right,
you, buddy.
You too.
All
Thanks
right, later. You. All right, 518 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go over to Venice, Louisiana. Let's talk to Captain Mike Jeffcoat over there with RJ's Hunting and Fishing. Mike, good morning. How's it going over there, buddy?
Oh, living the dream, Mickey.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
aren't
what
we
can
all?
You ask for?
Hey, every day's a dream when I can make it up. I'm about
I hear
now.
You.
It's all
That's
good,
right. We're on the right side of the dirt.
That's it. We're in the latter part of life. We're waking up. It's all bad.
That's right. No, I just got here and got unloaded for the madhouse. It was definitely Father's Day weekend, and every father I know is down here fishing, I guess.
That's it.
It is
that's,
crazy.
It's going to be a busy weekend.
Yes, it is. So. Well, they all have it after today. I'm going to take a few days off. I'm going to fly in the morning for Father's Day and take a few days off and come cool. back, get back in the grind.
Good for you.
Don't have much wind this morning. I hope my water's still clean. I'll go over and get them trout again this morning.
Well, it'll be windy over there tomorrow because our wind showed up yesterday afternoon and last night. It's blowing pretty good over here out of the due south, bud.
You know, it showed up... here yesterday.
Did it?
In the afternoon, yeah. Yeah, it got a little bumpy in the afternoon yesterday, but well, it's all good. Like I said, I've got fighting this tide still. Oh, man. And, I mean, we're low here this morning, it looks like. When was it? I talked to you Thursday. I got there and the tide had done quit on me, and I went and got in a little pass there off some marsh grease, and it was kind of wind blowing coming through it, and there was a million pogies coming through that thing, and porpoises in there busting stuff, and I was about to give up on it, and I seen one up on top nosing across after them bogeys. And I said, I'm going to reach over, ease over to that. I went over and there was about 50 of them down that bank, just swimming back and forth, and could not make a narrow one of me. Nothing.
Really?
He'd throw a bait at him, he'd turn his nose up and swim away.
Isn't that something? Boy, too.
That's crazy.
Too much bait, yeah. Man. The real deal was there. That's hard to compete with that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you could walk on the bait. So, anyhow, we managed to catch them about an hour later, caught a redfish, and then I went back to them trout on them. Kind of a slack tide and just grinded on them, and you'd catch one every about 10 cast or so, and they was all good ones, so that made it. That made for the day. Had a good
makes
day.
It worthwhile, so. Yeah. If you can catch a good fish every 10 cast, I'm in. Put me in, Coach.
Oh, yeah, put me in, Coach. You
ready
bet.
Ready to play,
absolutely.
Baby. Ready to play.
So, but that's about it. Offshore's kind of tough. The tuna are kind of way out there right now, and why, nobody can figure it out. The dolphin are still pretty close on the rips, but they're tuna fish. Tuna fish one of the most finicky fish in the world. So
they are, and they move a lot, boy.
Oh, well, you know, they can't stop swimming because they don't have no bladder, so they're constantly on the move. And
yep.
So, anyhow, yeah, but it's, you know, it's that time of year. June is generally when them tuna kind of get a little aggravating, you know, and the bait's starting to show up out there, and so that's, you know, that's making a big difference. So as soon as the bait grows up and gets active, them tuna fish, they'll start coming back in closer. So
yeah, I like the way y'all go out there and catch all them fish, beautiful wahoo and Dorado and all that in the dead zone that they predict every year.
Yeah.
I know, like this year they're predicting that dead zone to be the second largest ever.
Yeah.
And record keeping and all that. And
all right.
I don't know, take that for what it's worth, but it's supposed to be, you know, oxygen deprivation and the fish won't live in it. And, you know, from all
it's
runoff from the Mississippi. And
yeah. Well, it's no different than this climate change, you know. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what they think about all this rain we're getting on that climate change now.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah. You know, look at the radar. I saw St. Louis all up in there getting hammered again this morning. So.
They are. That's what's sucking this wind through us, up through Texas, feeding and fueling that with Gulf moisture. And,
gotcha.
All up from, you know, Oklahoma through Kansas and Missouri. And now we got a low pressure system kind of building up west of us over by Mexico that'll probably slide this way later in the weekend.
Yep.
And
well,
our rain chances.
About right.
Yes.
But, I just give up on listening to the meteorologists and stuff like that and all these predictions they come up with. I just have to get up and deal with it every day. So
that's it. You got to go in.
You know,
you just got to make your own call.
Yeah, I make my own call. You know, I've got two choices, left or right. So, you know, hopefully it's the right direction every day, even if I go left. So, but now I'm going back to Marster this morning. I got a bunch of guys on catch trout, so. We'll get back on them. Boy, them old trout, I told you the other day, they so beat up on their bellies, rubbing on that
Oyster
Reef.
The bottom, rubbing that shell, huh?
Yeah, they're rubbing it. They won't get their bellies unswole.
Yeah.
They won't get their belly unswole because they are swole up. I'm
full of eggs,
you.
Man. That's
full of eggs.
That's amazing. And then we got a full moon coming up. There ought to be some squirting going on here in the next
couple
of days.
Yeah, plenty of school moon.
And two more nights. Let's see, what's our percentage today? We're 92%, tomorrow 97%. So, yeah, Monday night, be 99%.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I'm taking a few days off because you know what it's like after it. So.
Oh, yeah.
That last one. That last full moon.
Night.
Ooh, it got tough. So, but there it is. So I want to wish all our listeners Happy Father's Day tomorrow.
Heck yeah, and you too, man, with all your big family and all the good people in your family. You got some mighty fine grandkids and a son and all that I've met before and got something to be proud of, man.
Well, we all do. So
yeah, we do. What are you catching those trout on right now? What's your best
down
presentation?
South. Down south, Blue Moon, it's a white-colored bait with a chartreuse tail on it.
Blue
and I'd catch them, Yeah, I can catch them, and he's got a new color, too, called Color X. Been catching a few on it. It's just according to what the sun's doing on me. You know, I've had some blue skies, and so that and his Kicking Chicken, which has got a lot of blue in it, on them blue skies, I like it. But, right. You know, with clouds up, I go to a little darker color, and seems to work. And actually, I'm catching them. You don't want to work it. You just slow reel it. You know, keep it above the moisture.
Just keep that tail wiggling.
Keep that tail wiggling, and them down south, that tail wiggles on that thing. So, but you know, on them oysters over there, the best presentation, especially with, you know, I go through so many damn jig heads. I put a cork on it. You know, I use a snap-on cork and just keep one in my pocket and snap it on there and fish it that way. That way you...
Well, then you can really slow problem, it down and you won't have to worry about hanging up and keep it just off
the
bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. The only problem with that is when that tide does go pretty slack on me, them hard heads will eat you alive with just on that. Oh, and I'm talking about, you know... And my customer the other morning was talking about it. He ain't never had a hard head hit as hard as they do. I mean, they're slamming that thing.
They're hitting with a vengeance. They must be getting ready
with a vengeance too. Yep, they are. They're swole up. So, anyhow, it's getting busy here. I'm fixing to have to get my boat moved as soon as I can get some ice and stuff on it.
Run out and do your thing, man. And I appreciate you taking my call this morning. And
absolutely.
Wish you the
Anytime.
Best. You have a great weekend. Have a safe flight into H-Town, brother.
Will too.
All right,
give me a call at 832-338-9376 or catch us on the web at rjhuntingandfishing.com.
rjhuntingandfishing.com. You got it, man. All right. Well, Mike, you have a good one, and I'll talk to you next week. See you, buddy.
Thanks, sir. Later.
All right. Take care. All right. That's Captain Mike Jeffcoat over in Venice at RJ's Hunting and Fishing. And, getting back to those hard heads. You know, the gaff top do the same thing, you know, and once they spawn, they hold those eggs in their mouth, and they'll hold on to those eggs till they actually hatch in their mouth, and they can become, that's what's so negative about throwing a corky wade fishing this time of year, or any kind of bait that you can stop and slow down, like he was talking about, even under that cork where they're suspending that bait above that oyster shell where they don't hang up when that tide gets slack, that... it presents an easy target for them, and they jump all over it. Same thing we experience throwing corkies and baits like that, the hot rods and the lilies and all that this time of year. When you really get out of the trout good and you're kind of in a lull, a slow time there, they can be quite the pest, so to speak. So, but real quick, update on a starboard, if nobody's seen what's going on with the star, as far as the adult division, real quick, on speckled trout, which is probably the most sought-after species of fish on our Texas coast. The upper coast, James Malone is leading with an 8.3. James Malone from Clute, Texas, he weighed that fish in at Surfside, so he probably caught that fish in the Freeport area. Speckled trout, middle coast, there's four places already filled up. The biggest trout right now is an 8.12. Jake Daniel of Wharton caught it. He weighed in at the harbor. Jacob Matthews with an 8.7 weighed in at the harbor there in Matagorda. Tom Swartz of Katy, 8.6. Drake Pulowski of Belleville, an 8.2. And in the lower coast, you've got Jesse Cantu down there in Brownsville that weighed in one at South Shore Bait and Tackle, a 9.0. Kingfish, it's going to be a tough one to beat. I know I say this every year, but you start off the tournament with a 66-pound, 8-ounce kingfish. That is that's a real smoker right there. That's a giant king. Right now, Dorado's 28. Ling right now is 60 pounds. Then there's another one, 54 pounds weighed in, and Flounder is a 5.2. Cody Dennis of Friendswood caught that. He weighed that in at the Galveston Yacht Basin Bait and Tackle. Let's see here. Sheephead right now, Christopher Brandon of Baytown, a 10.6. That's a monster sheephead, man. And the second place sheephead isn't much smaller. It's a 9-13. That's a big one, too. Millard Whitehead of Crosby caught that one. Both those fish were weighed in at Marburgers. And Gafftop right now, Alan Leishman of Vinton, Louisiana, he caught this one. And Sabine, a 6-9. And then Lauren Sando, that's got to be Brian, a good friend of mine's daughter, a 6-4. That was weighed in at Sportsman Supply. That was probably caught at Sabine also. Sabine produces some big old giant gaff tops. So. But that's where we're at. That's the starboard. A quick update on that. After the break, we're going to go to Captain Cliff Webb down south and see what's shaking down there in the Corpus area. It's 5:36 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's head down south. Let's go down to Corpus Christi area. Let's talk to our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb. See what's up with him this morning. Cliff, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Mickey. Doing good, man. The wind finally came back like it's normal, but
yeah,
it sure was a nice week with that low wind, wasn't it?
Boy, wasn't it? That was so, it was beautiful, man.
I could kind of get used to that. Man.
Yes, sir.
It was a good week, though, man. It was a good week for us. Midweek, we had a little bit of storm coming into Baffin where we had some, some real heavy rains midweek and kind of screwed things up midweek. But, boy, the early week and the end of the week was pretty good. I started out the Monday, and I had some of your listeners. I had two trips this week, and both of them were from the radio show, and I appreciate it, guys. They're just, they got some great people coming from Houston. I always tell everybody that the reason the guys are so good from Houston is they fish in a real tough field. I said, they come down here. It's like Disneyland down here. When they were fishing Houston, it's like Disneyland, clear water, and they can see, but.
Yeah, it's quite a treat for them, man.
Yeah, I just love the Houston people are such good fishermen because, man, if you can catch them there, you smoke them everywhere else. So
if you can catch them in Galveston, your chances are pretty good elsewhere.
Well, you think about that. You fish or hunt in tough conditions, and you get somewhere good, you're better. You're better than everybody else, and that's what's going on with Houston. I got some great fishing for Houston. And Monday I had this guy, John. He was a motorcycle police officer here in Corpus many years ago, and I'm surprised he never arrested me. But anyway, he never handcuffed me or nothing, so that was a good thing. But, man, they're a good fisherman, and we got those fish in deep structure again. And but no really big fish, just solid fish. But we didn't get in those really – The A team is more like the C and the B team, but lots of fish. Then we kind of ran out by the storm midday, but lots of good action. Then in the middle of the week, I went down way south down to Big Shell, way down to Maliki, and did the beach thing. And Mickey, I'm gonna tell you what, it was just unbelievable down there. About 25 miles, that first gust, the high banks, you can see everything coming down that first gut. It's just gin clear. And we sat there and watched tarpon, jackfish, trout just swim down the bar and sight cast them. That was it just doesn't get much better. And I was throwing that one I'm telling you, that chrome belly with that blueback he dog, that one. And I see this huge wake coming across the bar. And it's so early, I really can't make out what it is. And I go, man, I'm not going to throw it. It's probably going to be big jacks. And I don't know what happened, but I threw it. I threw that,
Just had to do it, didn't you?
You just can't take it, man. I threw that sucker out there, and I rolled a couple times, and it just got smoked, And that was it. It was just over in about 2 seconds. I don't know if it was a big jack or a tarpon, but it was game over. And I said, you know better than that. But anyway, that was a lot of fun fishing the beach. Friday, yesterday, I had a really good group. And they're also from your show, Adrian Torres and his daughter, Ellie. And Ellie's probably about 20 years old. And man, I can't believe how good these young fishermen are. It's almighty. She had a
It'll scare you how good these kids are nowadays, buddy.
I said, you need me some rod and reels? And Adrian goes, no, we got everything. And of course, they show up with the Concept 13s, the Z reels, and they smoking them. She's throwing that thing out there 50, 60 yards, that she was using a little white one, that little white 13. And
The C.
Man, we caught some good fish.
That's a good reel.
It is. And it was so cool, Mickey. I'm working a trolling motor, and I come up on a set of rocks. And these rocks are all the way out of the water with maybe within a quarter of an inch of the surface. And you can just, it's kind of slick, and you can just see that those rocks are right up on the surface. And it's a big old green hole right in the middle of those rocks. And Adrian, I told Adrian, I says, there's a big trout out hole, but you'll never get him out. And Adrian fires that topwater in there, and he rolls it about twice, and just smokes it, And I said, you're never going to get that fish out of that hole. And that fish, you can just see that fish. It's real clear, just kind of rolling around, trying to get that plug off. He's got his rod up over his head real high, you know, and he's trying to yank it. At the same time, I'm pulling the trolling motor. I'm trying to get the trolling motor closer to the rock so his line wouldn't be laid so much in the water. You know, I'm trying to get an angle on it. And I look up, and I see that fish doing weird things, and I realize that hook, it came out of his mouth and T-boned him right in the belly. And he's got about a 26-inch trout, maybe 5-6 pounds, T-boned in the middle of this hole. And this thing is going around that hole just trying to rake that plug off. But he's putting so much pressure that he's keeping the lure up on top of him, and the fish is kind of laying on his side, and you roll that fish over that rock on his side, and we landed that fish. One in a million, but that was pretty cool.
One in a million. That's exactly
right. It was, man. I mean, if that fish would have flopped over something and just hung a hook on the rock or anything, he'd have got raked off. But, it always makes it fun when something like that happens.
I remember the first time I came down there, we were catching them on broken backs, throwing up in those rocks and rolling across them, and we kept breaking all these fish off, and my old buddy with me goes, you got any more of those broken backs? And I said, I got one more. Don't touch it. We're out. We're officially out.
We're saving it for the grass.
Well, we got in that day. We went everywhere around your area trying to find them. Nobody had them. Said,
remember they would sell out, and you'd have to go to Victoria or somewhere to find a broken back because they would just get – everything would get taken off the shelf because, you know, they would only bring so many, and when they got hot, everybody swooped them up. It was amazing.
Yep.
But we got from perch now bigger than your hand, so I had to pull off my bass assassins because they're nip the tail off constantly, and that's when that little John is paying off for me. Let me tell you what, that little John and these perch are really working. I'm using the opening night in that clear water. And I'm putting a 1/16 ounce head on it and just flipping up around those rocks. And the perch just take a little notches out of it, but at least they don't take the tail off all the time.
I know it. That little John's it's a tough, durable little bait. It catches fish.
Yeah.
When Mirror Lure first sent us those, I'm going, what is this?
Yeah.
What do we do with it? I mean, what is this supposed to be? And I forget where I was fishing. Man, my memory should be better than that. I think I was fishing deep in the back of Trinity Bay, and I strung one on. Naturally, purple caught my eye first over every other color. You know, I'm a freak for purple baits, and I slid that on a quarter ounce jig head and slung it out there and clicked it in gear, and I went to jig it, and it was already loaded up. I said, "Good Lord," and I said, "That's a fluke." Got him in, took him off, threw back out another one. And it was so good that I said, well, I wonder how you work this bait. You know, I need to get somewhere where it's kind of slow so I can figure out what kind of action they want on this lure. But what a great bait that was. That's I don't know what it imitates. I guess a shrimp, huh? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and you know what? I was watching, and I rig it for it with a 1/16 ounce lead head, so it floats down real slow. So when you throw it out, you let it go all the way to the bottom. And I put a low rod tip, and I kick it twice, and it does a loop. Mickey, if you ever watch, it does a kind of a loop and comes back.
Oh, yeah,
the same
it'll
spot.
Come up and twirl over. And, it's like it turns over like a corky.
Exactly. And that really helps you when you're trying to, those fish are in ambush spots. They're going to be right there in that spot waiting for that bait. And if you can flip that bait in there and flip their switch, if you just roll it sometime by them, they'll just go, okay, they'll let it go by. Got plenty to eat. But if you flip it a couple times in front of them and it goes to the bottom and it sits there and they look at it, they're probably going to eat it. And, but the main thing with the little John now is, it keeps me from changing bait so much on the perch. I mean, I love Bass Assassin. They're incredible baits. But when these perch get the size of your hand like they are now and you reel your bait in, there's five of them following in. Every time you reel them in, there's five perch behind it. If you reel it too slow, they're taking the tail off.
Yep.
And so I have to go to the Little John, which I love it. And, of course, I'm throwing flounder fishing now. I'm still using the sea shad, the chicken on a chain with the flounder, and they smoke it. Mm-hmm. But our flounder was off this week, and we had some redfish, but our redfish are down here are still a little bit off. All the guys at redfish hunters are saying, man, we don't know where all of our redfish are. But
they do that. They're notorious for that. And then when you don't want them, they're everywhere. You can't keep them off of it.
That's when you got your corky on looking for big trout. They're smoking your brand new corky.
Yeah, tearing all your good corkies up.
Yeah, that's when they show up, man. They come up with it. They get them in the back of their throat, and they roll them up like a piece of bubble gum and give them back to you. Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that. I love it when they hit it so hard they just make a donut out of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I always tell people you can tell the trout they've mended out. You know, it's a big, it's opposite way. The redfish just bend it into a ball, and the trout, their mouth is so big, they'll actually bend it the opposite way sometimes, the big trout. It's amazing.
Exactly.
But,
see, a lot of people don't know that. That's,
yeah.
You know, what you just brought up right there is valuable information.
Mm-hmm. You can tell what kind of strike it is. And on those trout, let me tell you what, if you throw that same bait back out there, most time they won't hit it, but you'll just stop and be real still and change that bait to a different color, and you'll catch that big trout. But if you try to bend it back up and get it straight again and throw it out there, she said, I've already seen it. I've already smoked it. It didn't work. And so you change colors, you throw it out there, and she said, well, that's something a little bit different, and she'll eat it.
A little different look.
Yeah, a little different look. And I don't know about you guys, but we got pogies showing up in Ballyhoo. I saw schools of Ballyhoo yesterday.
Ooh,
and,
big trout.
Man, you know,
those.
That's a good thing. For, yeah, that's why we're catching so many trout. But the fish cleaning table cleaned, I think he said last weekend, 5,000 pounds of fish. And Friday he cleaned 2,000 pounds of fish. Friday in one day. And a lot of those, Mickey, are snapper. These guys are running out in this flat, and they're catching snappers in their small boats. So, you know, a lot of that snapper. But for a fish cleaner to do 2,000 pounds a day, man, you're doing some serious cutting.
Y'all got fish cleaners down there?
We got this professional guy that came in and built this fish cleaning table, and he is a professional. I never seen nothing like it, Vicky. It's wicked. He got these special knives, and there'll be 10 baskets laying there with, 1,500 pounds of fish, and you go around the corner, eat a sandwich, half of them be done. He's just and he's so clean and so perfect. That's what's so good. He's a professional.
Dang.
He has all the right tools, and the tables. And so what happened is there's so many people there at Market 37, there's hundreds of people there. Well, the fish cleaning table, people were getting so mad trying to get the table, and people were hogging the table. And so they built a regular table for people that want to clean their fish. Then they have the fish cleaner where you can just drop your fish off, and I think for 30, 40 cents a pound, he cleans everything, puts them in a bag for you. So a lot of guys like that.
That's pretty good. It sounds like in Louisiana they have that. Down at Venice where Jeffco runs out of, they have the cleaners like that dress all their fish up like that.
I go in there on those flat days, Mickey, and there's all those big old giant snapper laying there. Nobody takes the throat out. And so I tell the fish cleaner, hey, bud, here's a little money here. Take some of those throats out for me. So I took them home last night and barbecued those big old snapper throats.
Oh,
not a bad deal, dude.
Man. No, I'm telling you, snapper throats are awesome. Like redfish throats.
Oh, yeah. Man, they're something else.
They're kind of a pain.
I like them on the grill.
To do, clean them yourself. But, boy, they sure are good. My dad was fanatic about that on redfish. I'd sit there and half shell them and all that, and then I'd just slide the carcass over to him, and he'd cut those throats out. And boy, that on the grill, that is hard to beat. It really is.
Yeah, I did it last night. I grilled them up. You know, those big old, they were big. Those snapper were 15 to 17 pounds, real big ones. They were big ones, and those throats were like lobster meat. And I grilled them out, let the skin on, they folded out. But it's amazing how many they throw away. I'm going, man, those people just knew what they're throwing away there. That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
It's all good, Nick. Our fishing is just going to get nothing but better. Thank God I'm not fishing these next couple of days. I think Father's Day is probably one of the busiest weekends ever down here.
Here, too. Yeah, yesterday was kind of the kickoff to it. And, buddy, there was a lot of people fishing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of people. But I think everybody watched that extended forecast and saw that this wind was really going to get up over the weekend with a southerly. And they put all their eggs in a basket and went yesterday. It was very crowded from what I hear. I wasn't out there, thank goodness, but a lot of my buddies
were, and
they said it was tough. It was crowded.
Fridays and Saturdays now. I tell everybody, Fridays and Saturdays, I'm kind of kicking back where I'm just fishing, trying to fish Monday through Thursday and leaving the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the Warriors because, what I do, it's just so hard to get on fish because – Monday, we never saw another boat, maybe one boat. And Friday, we saw very few because I ran so far. But that was unusual. Normally on Friday, if you hook up, you're going to have somebody pull in on side of you and try to get in there with you. But that's one thing that I was – those guys from Galveston said, man, you said, you don't know what crowd it is, Cliff. I looked around and see one boat, about 3 or 4 miles out in the bay. Like, there's another boat. There's not much going on. It's pretty cool.
Well, I had a day like that Monday. I saw one other fishing boat, and pretty much the reason I didn't see anybody because I wasn't on any fish.
I hate that.
That's, you know.
Gee, I wonder why nobody's here. I hate that.
Yeah, we pulled that northeast wind, and I just told them, hey, we're just going to, you know, we'll go fish for redfish and up my way, because that fresh water doesn't affect those redfish like it does the trout, and you can do pretty good on reds. And Blaine had been doing real good catching reds like crazy everywhere. I think one day they caught like 60. And
good Lord.
Yeah, but it didn't work out that way for me. Monday, it was slow. It was very tough.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we lost all our water. You know, all our water left. We changed up.
Yeah, Monday we had a strong north wind here. I know you had a north wind Monday too. Yeah,
here
and
too.
It actually kicked our fish on. It actually kicked our fish on a little bit, but with no real big fish on Monday. We had numbers and good fish, but I didn't catch any of those 4 or 5 pounders. It was kind of strange. And of course, the middle of the week we got kind of messed up with the storms. We had some storms right over Baffin Bay.
Yeah, what was that Wednesday? Kind of, I got alert on my phone about Corpus dangerous thunderstorms.
Yeah,
now that popped up on my
phone. It blew 40, 50 miles an hour down there, and lots of rain and, you know, lots of wind. And it pushed those fish off my pattern because, you know, you go in there and you catch one on a set of rocks and it rains 3 inches and lightning and thunder, those fish are going to pull off there. They're going to pull off the nearest deep structure. And that's what's happening when those storms are pulled off deep.
Yeah.
So it kind of changed things. So I kind of fished I just went to the beach. I just stopped and we didn't fish the middle of the week. And I just went down the beach and fished. And one of my guys, Monday John, says, I really appreciate your beach report because a lot of us listen to you guys to see what's going on the beach. He lives over, in Baytown, kind of away from the beach, so he likes to hear that report.
Cool.
So, but I tell you what, you won't be doing nothing on the beach today.
No, there won't be any. No dawn patrol this morning unless you're going
surfing. I don't think so, man. Yeah, we might go surfing. That's about it. But we're all good here and looking for another good week.
Blaine was wanting me to ask you the other day. Now, this is probably just a rumor. You know how fishing rumors are.
Uh-huh.
But he heard of a big fish being caught down your way, a big trout. He don't know whether the guy was in the star tournament or not, but he heard of a 12 or a 13-pound speckled trout coming out of the water down there somewhere.
Man, I haven't heard that, Mickey. I saw an 8-pounder. Monday, a croaker guy caught an 8-pounder. It was 29 inches, 8 pounds. But I haven't seen nothing like that.
If anybody will know, Cliff, he keeps his ear to the ground down there. He'll hear about it.
Well, I do at the marina, but I don't get on the websites and look at all that face. I don't do any of that stuff. So if I have to see it or hear it from somebody. But, you know, every year I hear of a 16-pound trout. Every winter someone catches up another 16-pound trout, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, especially on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, it could happen, but I sure hope they're in the star. But, and, you know, I talked to you earlier about the guides being in the star. Did you read the rest of the letter?
No.
Did you get your letter about the guides can enter the star now?
Well, yeah, I knew
that.
Did you see all that? Right.
Yeah. Well, now you enter a drawing. I didn't understand all that. Now I see.
Yeah, when you have a customer weigh a fish in, it doesn't have to be a winner, but if it's weighed in and it's on the board, then your name goes into the hat.
That's interesting. That's
and the cool. more times you get your name in there, the better chance you got of winning when they do the drawing at the end of the year. So.
Mm-hmm. Man, we got to get busy, Mickey.
Yeah, I got to get real busy. The fish I'm on, I don't have. I hadn't had no fear of any one of my customers weighing a fish in yet, unless it's a tag red. May get lucky and do that. But
would be awesome. I had a star 5 years ago. I had a lady catch a star. A starfish, 11 and a half pounds. She was the only one in the boat that wasn't in the star tournament. That it was just amazing. Three guys and her, and then she catches it on a top water, dragging it. You know, I'm moving the trolling motor, and just moving across the water, and I hear a big, and it's a big old 32 and a half inch trout, and everybody just goes, "She's not in the star," and we just kind of wilted. But you know, you can't. I told those guys, "You ain't about to, you know, tell. You got to tell the truth here. They're gonna give you a lie detector test. You know, it is what it is. You know." And she made the cover of the Saltwater Angler that year, so she was happy.
Man,
but anyway, that's the way Murphy's Law is. The only one in the boat, that's the one that's going
to
catch it.
It's happened to me twice on Tag Red, so I know all about that. The only one in the boat that wasn't in the star, and I caught a Tag Red twice.
We caught one. The tag was a year old. That was a killer. It was last year's tag. That was a while back. You know, that's not this year.
Yeah, that's like looking at an old lottery ticket and go, oh, my God, I won the lottery. But, no, that's an old ticket. It doesn't count. So, All right. Well, if somebody wants to call you, Cliff, to come down and fish with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you, bud?
All right, Mickey. I'm an area code 361-949-0707. And all right. You guys have a happy Father's Day out there, and thanks for all you guys do out there, man. Thanks.
We're going to do it, Cliff. Thanks for the report. You have a good one. Nice talking to you.
All right, man. Okay. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.